Hi, everyone. Thanks. Well, as Lisa said, my name's Kim B., and I am a compulsive overeater, and I've been in the room since about 2011. I'm from St. Albert, Alberta, Canada, for those of you who are aware of where that is. I just wanted to let you know, I've never spoke at a conference or a marathon like this before, and I'm really kind of nervous. And it made it worse. I was, sorry, tell me, somebody nod if I'm too far away from the mic. Let me know if you can't hear me. But at first I thought, I went and listened to the keynote speaker last night, and she was amazing. She was so funny. And then I listened to, and I was so nervous. It's like, oh, she's so good, and I'm not going to be that good. And then I listened to a couple other speakers, and they were really good. And I realized they're all different. So mine's going to be different. That's all it's going to be. So, like I said, first time speaking. And when they asked me to speak, they asked me if I wanted to come up with a topic. I couldn't think of anything, so I left it up to them. And what they told me the topic was the OA promise. And I thought, wow, that's great. I didn't know it was the theme for the entire convention, but they chose the best topic ever. So I'm doing the OA promise. But before I get started, I'd like to take a couple minutes to lead everyone in a simple breathing exercise, probably more for myself than anybody else. It's something we did at work before I retired. It was a way of everybody relaxing and being here physically and mentally. So I thought we'd give it a try, if you don't mind. It's going to be very simple. You're going to inhale to the count of four, exhale to the count of four, and then pause to the count of four. And during the inhale, I just want you to feel the breath coming in, feeling your lungs, your chest, you know, feel it go down your throat. Exhale, let it release, your body relaxes, and pause, is you're just going to feel the hear and feel the quiet and the calmness, kind of like a white noise being turned off. And that's all. And we're just going to do it a few times. And anybody who doesn't want to do it, that's just fine. Just breathe normally. And the first couple times we do it, it'll just to get everybody in sync. And we're only going to do it like five or six times. It'll only take a minute or so. So anyhow, let's get started. Inhale. Two, three, four. Exhale. Two, three, four. Pause. Two, three, four. Inhale. Two, three, four. Exhale. Two, three, four. Pause. Two, three, four. So we should be kind of all together now. Inhale. Two, three, four. Exhale. Two, three, four. And pause. Two, three, four. Inhale. Feel the air enter your lungs, your chest, your abdomen expand. Exhale. Two, three, four. Pause. Two, three, four. Kind of rushed it. Inhale, two, three, four. This time exhale. Feel the air leave your body while relaxing your butt in the chair. And then pause. Two, three, four. Inhale, two, three, four. Exhale, two, three, four. Pause. Feeling the quiet, the calmness. Perhaps your higher power in your heart space. And then lastly, inhale. Two, three, four. Exhale. Two, three, four. And pause. Two, three, four. Thanks. Everyone can return to normal breathing. And hopefully everybody's feeling here a little calmer, a little more centered, not worrying about what happened before lunch and what's coming up or what happened at home this morning. You're just here and perhaps aware of your higher power with you. That's harder than I thought it was going to be. I've never led a group before. I didn't know how hard it is going to be to talk and breathe rhythmically at the same time. I can usually talk just fine. So anyhow, what a phenomenal promise is outlined in the OA promise. When I found out that the OA promise was my topic, I did a bit of research to uncover the history of these words. I mean, probably everybody knows this, but just for those of you who might not, it was written by our founder, Roseanne P., and she wrote it there's a whole chapter devoted to it, chapter 16 in her book, which is called Beyond Our Wildest Dreams. And Roseanne explained in that chapter that during a period of intensive growth in OA, during the 60s, she needed to create a booklet to send out to people who wanted to start groups and keep groups running. So these are her words. She said, "As I wrote the first page, I closed my eyes and pictured myself reaching out to my OA sisters and brothers. It was as if I was talking to them, reassuring them with our collective experience, strength, and hope." And so the opening pages of this booklet that she created contained the following. Again, in Roseanne's own words, she wrote, "Remember, you're not alone. We're all with you all the time, even though you may feel lonely and far away from other OA groups. We in OA have suffered as you have. We have been helped by many powers outside ourselves. We have been shown a new way to live. We say in all sincerity, come with us and let us show you the way. And as we reach out to you, we truly hope that you will take heart and put your hand in ours." And so that's what became the OA promise as we know it today. And I was going to do a whole thing on the OA promise because I thought I was the only person talking about it. I didn't, like I said, didn't know it was the whole. So I'd just like us all, instead of I was going to lead you line by line, instead of doing that, I'd just like you guys to say it with me. But while we're saying it, I want you to think about the power of these words that she had. So, everybody ready? "I put my hand in yours, and together we can do what we could never do alone. No longer is there a sense of hopelessness. No longer must we each depend upon our own unsteady willpower. We are all together now, reaching our hands for power and strength greater than ours. And as we join hands, we find love and understanding beyond our wildest dreams." Yeah, that's just so wonderful, isn't it? It's amazing. And for the next 20 minutes or so, I want to share with you how the OA promises have come true for me, how I worked my program, and how I went from being alone. They say this is a disease of isolation, and it's absolutely true in my case. It was a disease of isolation. I was alone with this disease. But now, as promised, I'm surrounded and supported by the OA Fellowship and my higher power. How I went from feeling desperate and hopeless to living a life full of options and joy. Instead of trying to control everything and have things my way and ultimately failing, I've learned to accept things as they are, trust my higher power will be there to guide me, and the OA Fellowship will be there to pick me up and support me as needed. Also, how I went from relying on myself, my unsteady willpower that they talk about in the prayer, failing time and time again, to having unlimited strength and power available to me through this fellowship. How I went from feeling useless, full of fear, trapped by this disease. Now I know a new freedom and a new happiness. I'm surrounded by more love and understanding than I could have ever dreamed of. Now I realize my worth, and I'm learning to love myself, which is something I could have never imagined. It's beyond my wildest dreams. So it's been a remarkable journey. I've been in the OA rooms for about 12 years now, but when I came into the OA rooms, like I mentioned earlier, I was alone. I truly was alone. I was scared and I was alone. Starting back in my 20s or so, and for the next three decades, I gained weight, I dieted, I lost weight, I regained the weight. I did this over and over. Like I said, for three decades I did that. But I was a great dieter. I was an amazing dieter. I had like spreadsheets to count calories, and I had the spreadsheets to count, you know, the weight and the reps and the how far I ran. But you know what? I could sometimes, especially when I was younger, I could get the weight off. But I could never keep it off. I know lots of you share that same. But eventually, after I lost the weight, my eating would... I would be trying to eat moderately. I'm on a maintenance plan right now, right? Remember that? Maintenance plans. And I would eat... my plan would be to eat moderately, a little bit of everything. Well, I certainly could not do that. I never could eat moderately or, you know... Something else that I had during that entire time, I had three sets of clothes. I had my fat clothes, I had my thin clothes, and my in-between, my transition clothes. And how I hated those fat clothes. Like, I truly hated those fat clothes. Because when I was wearing those fat clothes, my eating was totally out of control. Every night I would eat compulsively until I was stuffed and fall into bed and asleep, and wake up in the morning feeling disgusted with myself because I had overeaten again. And I had truly planned that day was going to be different. It was going to be different. I knew what I was supposed to be eating. I mean, I told you I was an amazing dieter. I knew how to do this, right? But so again, I'd start the cycle over again. Today I'm going to eat proper, and by, mid-afternoon, I would lie to myself and tell myself I could eat something that I knew I couldn't, something as simple as brown whole wheat toast with butter. And one slice would lead to another slice, and then another slice, and then you add some jam, and then before you know it, it's supper and you've eaten too much, and then it's evening again and you eat way too much, and you wake up the next morning and you do it again and you feel terrible. And that would go on for me for a few months until I was so disgusted with myself that I'd search for another way to control this eating. And choose another diet, go through the cycle all over again. And that, like I said, went on for decades. And I wasn't a good mother or a good wife during that time because I was so obsessed with calories and food that I didn't have the time or the energy to spend with my kids and be there for them. I angered easily, way easier than I should have. Because, again, they were asking for things from me that a normal mother or a good mother should be able to provide, but I just was so obsessed that I couldn't do that. But ultimately, I was miserable. I was alone. I remember trying to discreetly find somebody who understood what I was going through. Like, I remember talking to my sister-in-law, and I remember talking to coworkers and friends, and all I found was people who complained about their weight. They weren't happy with their weight, and they were on one diet or another, but as far as I knew, they didn't eat like I did. They certainly never ate like I did, and I could not let them know how much I overate because it was just so disgusting. I did find a group at one point. It was a couple dietitians, and they had a program going that I joined up, and that was to get in touch with your emotions and your past trauma. It was there that I was introduced to meditation, which was a good thing. They even partnered us up with other members of the group, which, again, another good thing, the right direction. But the big problem was it was expensive. It was really expensive. And on top of that, the program wasn't even written yet, completely written. So every time we'd finish one session, we'd be waiting for the next session. So ultimately, that just led to another failed diet that just petered out, and the friends disappeared that I had made, or the partners. And then about that time, too, I was, again, desperately searching for a solution to this problem, and I knew that I couldn't do it on my own at this point. And I remember finding this book, and I thought, this might be the solution. The book was supposedly Spiritual Lessons to Keep the Weight Off. And I remember taking it to a coworker, but I knew I couldn't do it even the book I couldn't do myself. I couldn't. So I went to a coworker at work who struggled with her weight. She was suffering from diabetes, and her doctor wanted to keep the weight. And I thought, okay, she's perfect. She understands. And I sat down with her, and I showed her the book, and it was like, yeah, no, Kim. No, she wasn't interested. She remained my friend. It didn't hurt our friendship that much until I changed jobs, and then our relationship again just faded away. After those attempts to control my weight failed, I turned to weigh and pay. Because, again, I knew there would be support there. There'd be somebody there to weigh and somebody to take the payment, at least, you know. And I remember going in three times a week to get weighed and measured and pay. But I remember talking to the counselor about this one time that I went through a drive-through for fast food. And I didn't know why I did that because it wasn't on my my diet. We had discussed that. And all she could say was, yeah, no, I don't know, Kim. You shouldn't do that. That was the end of it. But I did, because I had paid for this, I did manage to lose 50 pounds that I was trying to at that point. And then it was time to go back on maintenance again. And again, it didn't last. I could not eat moderately by myself. And very quickly, my eating got out of control, and I started overeating again. And again, I was afraid. I was miserable. I was alone. And this is when I turned to OA. Now, I knew what OA was. I had been to OA in the 80s. Now, this is 2011 that I'm talking about, but I had been to OA in the 80s. But I just worked it like a diet. I didn't work the program. I didn't do the steps. So it really was just another diet. And like all my other diets, it didn't last. It faded away. But like I said, I did find OA, and I looked it up on the internet, and there was a meeting in my city on Monday nights, and I attended. And that meeting is still my home group today. And that weigh and pay diet was my last diet ever. But I have to admit, when I walked through those doors, I recognized the people in those rooms as my people, my kind of people. They were people who understood how I ate and why I ate, and they didn't judge me for it. They just held out their hands to me and showed me love and support, and they cared for me. And like I said, and most importantly, they had a solution. So again, I had hope. I was hopeless. Now I had hope. There was something out there. I've gotten to know so many people in the rooms. It's just amazing. Because like I said before, the friendships never lasted. They never seemed real. Because I couldn't let people see who the real me was. Because they wouldn't like me. They would judge me. And they, you know. But in the rooms, it's different. They know who I am. And I have so many strong connections with people in the rooms. I have... And it's not just in the rooms. Our friendship has blossomed, and it's outside the rooms. I have a friend who I do things, active things with. We go kayaking and biking and play pickleball. Excuse me. Maybe I'll have a drink. I have one person that I was close to, and while my mother was ill and when she passed away, this friend was there, Pat was there to be with me and support me, and I talked to her. And then shortly thereafter, her mother got ill, and we supported each other through that without using food. It was truly amazing. And then some sponsors that I've had that now are just friends, you know, and we'll go for long walks with our dogs and talk about OA and things in life general. Thanks to this program and its members, I don't have to rely on willpower anymore that failed me every time. I have the strength of the members to support me when I needed it. I have a sponsor who walked me through the big book and introduced me to a spiritual connection, another support for me in this program. I uncovered a power greater than myself deep within myself. And now I'm not only holding hands with the OA members, my friends, I also hold hands with my God as I walk the broad highway. It sounds wonderful, doesn't it? But it all didn't happen immediately when I walked through the doors of OA about 12 years ago. It has been a journey. At first, although I recognized the people in the rooms of OA as kindred spirits, as we've heard today, are my tribe, it was still difficult for me to let down my guard and let them see who I truly was. That had been years that I had been hiding who I truly was. It took years of growth of this program to let them see who I was. I still wore a mask of a competent woman who had her act together. I didn't let them see I was still struggling with food, terrified and confused about how to work this program at times. It took years of attending meetings, working the program with a sponsor. This one thing kind of epitomizes that. It took me over 4 months to get through step four the first time I did it. And it's because I was so worried about doing it perfectly. I remember I was trying to do step four, and my sponsor explained to me how to do step four and the table that's in the big book, for those of you who are familiar with that, you know, to use that. But I also knew, and this is me that took it, and eventually I have to take that list of resentments and I have to turn it into my character defects, and then I also have to take that to the people I need to make amends to. So I had this huge, it wasn't a spreadsheet, but it might as well have been, trying to get all these things aligned, and I remember being so frustrated with it. It didn't work, and of course I couldn't turn to my sponsor because I've got this all together. I know how to do this, right? But I remember she'd also taken me through steps 1, 2, and 3 in this talk of a higher power, and I hadn't really relied on my higher power at that point that much. I also heard the other members talk about how a higher power has helped them. So I decided I'm going to give this a try. So I hesitantly prayed for help from my higher power. And about that time I was listening to podcasts, and I listened to this one AA podcast. And it was kind of a rough and tough fellow from the streets, and he was sharing how you just have to do it. You just have to write. And don't worry about anything else. Just turn it over to your higher power. Pray for thoroughness and honesty and just write. So I threw away all the sheets and I just wrote. And you know what? Praying for thoroughness, it poured from me. It just was so easy when I did it that way. And it was not until I turned that over did I realize the power of putting my hand and my trust in that of my higher power. And to stop relying on myself. To get to know my higher power and develop a personal connection at times was kind of bumpy. Sometimes I felt the connection was really strong, like the example that I just gave you, and sometimes it felt like, I don't know where he was, but my prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. It didn't feel like it was working. So again, I prayed to my higher power and asked for his guidance with this issue. And the answer came one evening. I was standing in the lobby of the church where we have our OA meeting and looking at the bulletin board. And there was a flyer for an upcoming 6-week discussion group to study the teachings of a monk who wrote about contemplative living. I didn't even know what contemplative living was, so I had to look it up. And for you, those of you who don't know what it is, it's simply contemplative living is a lifelong journey that begins with ourself and leads us to embrace all creation and ultimately God. That sounded exactly what I needed. And I believe that my higher power put that in front of me, so I signed up. So hopefully I'm not introducing something that's not OA or AA. It was just the path that I followed according to my higher power. I encourage you to follow your own paths. But it was during this class that I discovered the masks that I was wearing. And it helped me remove them and learn who I truly was. And I started to love myself and care about myself. And I realized that, you know what? I'm a woman who's working her program. I'm kind. I'm thoughtful. I'm well-read. But I can be wrong. I can be wrong. And you know what else I discovered? I'm not responsible for everything that goes wrong in the general vicinity I am. But most importantly, I'm learning to love myself. I'm truly. And then at one of these classes, which I truly believe is a miracle from my higher power, after meditating and writing about what our conception of God was, I wrote simply 7 words. And it was, "Be still and know that I am." I know this was a message directly from my God, letting me know that I don't have to struggle so hard to connect with Him. He simply is. I just have to trust that. That's what faith is. I just need to ask and know that it'll be taken care of. After that, things began to change for me in the OA rooms also. I was able to take my masks off and let the others really see who I was. And you know what? They still liked me. They still supported me. They didn't care. They really didn't care that I wasn't perfect. They never let go of my hand. And I don't have to work this program by myself. I'm not afraid to ask for help anymore. My sponsor, I talk to her weekly now that I've gone through the... And it didn't take me that long to get through it with my sponsor. It didn't take, you know... It was easy to go through the steps when you ask for help and you're willing to just follow your directions. So now I share a power and a strength so much greater than mine alone. As I hold hands with the others in the room, I had the opportunity to reach my hands out and share this program with others and bring them into the fellowship. My circle of friends love me and support me and are there if I ever need them. I just need to ask. As you can see, it's been quite a journey as I trudge the road of happy destiny, holding hand with God and my friends, moving together to places that I could have never, never dreamed of. I look back and at who I was when I walked in the OA room 11 years ago and compare it to the woman I am now. It is truly amazing how far I've come. And if I keep moving forward, keep holding on my hands with and taking the support of the fellowship and my God, I know in another 12 years, I don't know where I'll be, but I know it'll be beyond my wildest dreams. So is that, I don't know.
You need 5 minutes.
Okay, 5 minutes, perfect. Because now we have 10 or 20 minutes, I think. And I'd like to hear from you guys on what the promises mean to you. I'd like to hear, you know, have you gone from being alone to being surrounded by people? And you know what? If you haven't experienced this yet, then what you would like, which of the promises you would like to incorporate into your life and have come true for you? You know, how you went from relying on yourself, your unsteady willpower, to having unlimited power and strength available to you, to knowing, to going from feeling useful, useless, full of fear, and trapped by this disease, to knowing a new freedom and a new happiness. So, and are you learning to love yourself? And if so, I'm going to open the floor here and let others share that they want to. And Lisa, are you going to be timing them for
yes.
a couple minutes?
Yes.
Okay, so yes. I guess I'll also take questions if people have yes. questions, and I will repeat them.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Good job.